All right. Hello, everyone. My name is Casey, and I'm a podcast lead this term for the University of Waterloo Product Management Club. And I have here with me a former member of the UWPM Club, and I hope that he rejoins in the not-too-distant future. It is Daivik. As you guys may know, he's a very well-known man across a lot of social media platforms. He's a current product management intern at Tesla as well, so he'll be able to bring to us a lot of really interesting insights and obviously his knowledge and his experience on how to get a PM internship, what PM really entails, and all that good stuff. So I'm going to go ahead. I'll just be throwing him some questions here. I guess the first one would just be, what would you describe product management to be? And what do you feel like would be the difference between full-time and a product management co-op?
Hello, everyone. It's nice to be on the podcast. I know I worked on some of them before in the past, so it's pretty neat to be on them now, actually speaking to you guys. So, yeah, I guess starting off, so between full-time and a co-op, yeah, I think, you know, one of the biggest things a lot of people start thinking about is how can I be a PM as an intern? Or what are some skills I can gain as a student so I can become a PM? Because a lot of people, especially before the big tech boom, used to think that PMs can only be people who have been at a company for a certain amount of time and then get promoted into a management position. But now what's happened is that there's been a big shift in that a lot of companies are actually hiring product managers straight out of university rather than promoting them after 3 or 4 years of being a software engineer, because they realize that they need product thinking people right out of the gate. They can't wait for software engineers for 3 or 4 years until they promote them. And on top of that, they realize that the roles are distinct enough. They can't, like, it makes more sense to start grooming people for product management straight out of university rather than after 3 or 4 years of them being a software engineer, because jobs are, they are similar, but they are distinct enough to the point that you should be looking into, like, somebody can base their whole career around product management. So when it comes to being a PM intern, I think it really depends what type of PM you first of what type of PM you want to be. If you want to do more technical PM stuff, then software engineering co-ops do help. But at the same time, start asking yourself about some high level questions. If you want to do product management, don't only think about how to make an algorithm faster. Think about why you're implementing a certain algorithm, or what questions is the algorithm solving? How it's making a user's experience better. I think those are some of the major keys to start thinking about product management, and at the same time start defining some of your experience.
That's pretty interesting. And I guess just to follow up too is, because I know, like, you, I believe you have at least two PM internships under your belt, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess I know, like, I'm only asking you this and you can only base it off of just your two experiences and obviously, you know, other people's stories, but what do you feel like are just like the main tasks and responsibilities that differ between a PM intern versus a full-time PM, you know, perhaps like a full-time product manager, senior product manager, whatever?
Yeah. I mean, it really depends on the company. I think one distinct thing about software engineering is, you know, you're given certain projects and you just go and build them, and then you have, you know, your scrums. You're pretty much like a software engineer, a mini software engineer, just working on certain projects that they've put aside for you. Well, with a PM internship, it really depends on the company, where either A, you could be working closely with a PM and just, you know, assisting them with some of the tasks that they have, or you're given full responsibility for a certain product or project and, like, you're working on it. You're taking full-time responsibilities. So there's those two types of PM internships. And I think regardless, there's a lot to learn for both. And keeping that in mind, there's a lot to learn. And those are really the two types of PM internships. Yep.
Interesting. And I guess if you don't mind me asking a follow-up question, even though I don't really have too much knowledge on my end to ask, but how did you land your first PM internship, and perhaps what's like one big, you know, like takeaway from that experience for, you know, it might be helpful for future or current students who want to get into the field?
Yeah, for sure. So one of the things I struggled with a lot is, Okay, well, first of all, when I first came into university, I had no idea what I wanted to do, just to be straight up. I always knew I was into computers, so that's why I did computer engineering. But when it came to coding and software, I had no experience. And even with like hardware, I didn't. Like, I didn't have any of that experience. I just knew that I enjoyed computers. So when I first came in, like most people, you know, software development, software engineering was the big track that most kids go into. So I ended up going into that track as well, because I decided, okay, this is where the jobs are available. Seems like a good gig. Might as well try it out. But as I started to keep going, I realized that what excited me wasn't as much the low-level questions, like I mentioned before, like, you know, how do you make an algorithm faster? It was more thinking about the user's experience of how does the algorithm help the user out in whatever product or project that we're implementing. And what I started to realize is that I didn't know this before, but those questions are exactly what a product manager does and thinks about. So what I started to do was try to cater myself towards that. So after doing two software development co-ops, my third co-op, I decided to do a solutions architect role, which is sort of a hybrid where you think about the high level architecture of how technical systems fit together. So you still have to work with various groups in order to do that. But at the same time, it's not full product management. And then my fourth co-op, when I ended up doing software development again, I was pretty insistent that I want to do product management in the future, but I kept getting these software development co-ops. So what I started to do was, what I did on the first day actually, is I went to the project manager and I told him that, hey, I know I was hired as a software developer, but I would love to do product management as well. And he told me that like the product manager of the project left the week beforehand. So as long as I get some of the software development roles done, like tasks done, he was happy to let me take some of the product manager tasks. And that was a really big asset, because I finally got some product management experience, even though the job was in product management. And that experience, like leveraging that experience, really helped me with my future co-ops. So what I would say to anybody listening to this podcast, if you're a prospective PM, but you're stuck, you know, in software engineering or something like that, is just ask for different opportunities. Just because you don't have a product management co-op doesn't necessarily mean you can't do product management tasks. And that's how I broke out into product management and gained that experience that a lot of people need to have in order to get a product management internship. It's like a, you know, it's like a loop. Like, people want, like, these PM internships, they want product management experience, but it's so hard to get that experience from beforehand, right? So so you have to be creative with how you get that experience and how you showcase it, so you know, people who are hiring PM interns stay interested.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And actually, to your point, like you pointed out, like it's pretty interesting, because a lot of people tell me stories about how they really broke into product management. And it's always that sort of same jump style where, like, you know, there's sort of like an open opportunity or a gap where they can definitely do some product management work, even though, like, obviously their original work or their original responsibilities was, you know, just different. And yeah. I think that's, especially if you're a co-op, I kind of realized about all my co-ops, like, managers don't expect you to just only, you know, focus on those really strict responsibilities and tasks. A lot of managers, obviously at least good ones, want you to explore a lot of different things. They want you to be, you know, like, open-minded, learn new things, you know, not just focus on one specific thing. If you're not, you know, 100%, you know, at least you don't 100% see yourself going down this road in the future. Why are you only doing that now? Maybe perhaps look at other stuff while you're working on your core tasks and responsibilities. And that's kind of what I've realized slowly throughout my co-op terms. And that's kind of what I slowly started doing. And I kind of jumped into PM sort of the same boat as you. Because some people jump into it by accident. They don't even realize what PM is. But some people actually do know what PM was beforehand, like you and I. And, you know, we really wanted to get that experience. So we had to be proactive in that, in this scenario. But I think obviously, as you can tell, it's paid off. And it'll definitely pay off for future students who want to go down this similar path, at least in my opinion.
And I think, like you really hit it on the head there. Like, if you have a good manager, at the end of the day, he wants you to be able to take the experience you want to get from your co-op position, right? And so I mean, that's why, like, if he or she has product manager tasks for you, and that's what you're interested in, then they'll be happy to give it to you because you're getting work, you're adding value to the company still, but at the same time, you're getting the experience you want. And for most managers, that's what they want out of a co-op, to let you have the experience you want to get.
Yeah, definitely. And I actually just wanted to point out too, is that, you know, don't be discouraged even if you're, for example, the manager can't provide you any PM work to do, or if there's not a need. Because, you know, at my second co-op, as an example, I was looking into PM, you know, experience, perhaps asking my current manager at the time what PM related tasks or responsibilities could I do at the time. Unfortunately, there wasn't much, but what he did instead was just connect me to the current PM in our team or in another team that he may have known. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, through that connection, you know, I constantly hit them up with messages, you know, asking them about their career advice or how I could get into the role that they're in. And then through that connection, they can link me with other connections that might be able to help support the job search, for example, or, you know, just other PM learning related stuff. I think it kind of just goes down like that. And that's definitely one piece of advice I would also give people. Right off the top of my head, I've realized is, you know, even if there's not enough PM work to do for you as a co-op, or, you know, even as a full-time, doesn't mean that you can't just be discouraged and can't ask, at least, you know, link me to someone that you know who is doing PM, and then get the connection started from there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, one big thing you could also do is that if you want to get PM experience and, you know, it's not really working out in other companies, if you have those connections in whatever previous company you co-opted at, like with a product manager, perhaps you could intern under them for your next co-op. That could be a good end too. So it's just being creative with those ends. I think that's a big part of it, because product management is pretty hard to break into. And especially to get definitive experience to showcase is pretty tough, especially at the beginning.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And let me just move on here to the next question. We spent some time here, but obviously it was a great convo to have on this side. But I guess, you know, actually a really similar question. I figured the next question I hear is really, really similar, but might have a different answer, I guess, is what got you into PM personally? You know, what do you see is like the main benefit or value that PM brings to your professional career, at least early professional career? Okay. I think that's just basic gist.
I think for me, I was always, when I was a kid, I was always interested in making my own startup growing up. And the reason I was so interested in that is because I wanted to make a product and take an idea and see it into the world. And I mean, I still really want to do that. But when I think it from a career perspective, if I weren't to do a startup, the reason I started going into more product management, like I said before, though, like when I first started, I didn't really know what different positions were there. So I started going in software engineering. But as I started to realize that, what I started to realize is during those co-ops is that a product manager's role is much more of taking ideas and putting them into the world and thinking about not only how things are implemented, but why things are implemented and what questions are we trying to solve. I think for me, that was a lot more exciting and is really why I've started to go into PM, or why I went into PM to begin with.
I see. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And I can definitely relate. You know, I've been always kind of entrepreneurial minded. My first ever internship was actually at a startup too. So I really got to get in that early stage startup culture and sort of experience. It was a really interesting time. And I guess maybe fell a little bit into PM, and I knew, obviously, you know, product management gives you exposure to so many different stages of product development and business as well as technology. Right. It's a great field for you to be in if you're obviously in any time interested in pursuing startups or entrepreneurship in the future, right?
Yeah, and I think one of the other reasons, now that you brought it up, one of the other biggest reasons I did is because I always liked the technical part about things, but at the same time, one of the things I really missed out in software engineering was the collaboration aspect. And of course you do have collaboration between software engineers, but at the same time, there were times where I was in my desk for 12 hours or eight hours. But no, I didn't talk to anybody the whole day because that's, you can do that as a software engineer, but that's not the role I wanted to do. I wanted to do something more collaborative and solve and defining user experiences. So that's why I decided to go more that route.
Right, right. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So yeah, I have two more questions for you. Usually our episodes are around like 20 to 25 minutes in length, and we've covered about 15 or so. So I think the next two questions will be able to finish it up here. But this next question is really big in terms of, obviously, I think this is the big question a lot of students or listeners like to hear about is, what is there any piece of advice you can give for current students who want to explore the field as an intern?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, like I mentioned before, definitely asking your manager if you can do product manager stuff is a big into the field. Because you might be on the fence. You might not know if you will enjoy product management. And so that's a really nice way for you to, A, keep doing what you've been doing before and what you were hired for, but at the same time, also get to experience what PM might look like. And so that's definitely a really, like, utilize your co-op terms, because your co-op terms aren't only for the for you to do work for the company, it's for yourself to also learn and grow and start mm-hmm. figuring out which career path you want to go down. So definitely that's like a big way to get in. I think second, you know, start seeing what company strategies are. Start seeing what different products are getting released, the different features, where the industries are going. Having that insight is a part of being a good PM. And I think the more you start reading about that type of stuff, the more you start developing an intuition that, okay, this is where the industry is going and this is where this product could fit in. So starting to do that is a big thing. I think start networking. That's another big thing you could start doing if you want to see if you're into PM. Ask PMs about their experience, what they do on a day-to-day basis. You know, some of the stuff they've gone through. I know for me, so I think I started really networking, I think January 2019, so almost a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And some of the strategies that I did was, you know, a lot of people go on LinkedIn and stuff and just go straight networking with recruiters that, hey, I want this position. Is there any way you can give me a referral to the position? But the strategy I took was actually like reaching out to PMs, you know, at Microsoft, Amazon, these companies I wanted to work at, and asking about their day-to-day life and some of the stuff on some of the tips that they had for PMs. So A, that gave me insight about their lives, so I could sort of, you know, actually see that I want to do this I want to try this as a career, sort of figure that out. And then B, it told me exactly what they were looking for. Because at the end of the day, like the recruiter is they're behind the recruiter, right? They're hiring for somebody on their team. So even though the recruiter is, you know, speaking out to the world that, hey, we want to hire somebody for this position, at the back end, they're the person you're going to be hired to, and they're the one defining the whole role. So And so like it's a big help. So I definitely start reaching out to PMs, not just recruiters, about different positions. And then yeah, it's a pretty good way to get in.
No, I definitely agree. Yeah, that's really in-depth advice. Awesome. And I guess if you don't mind me also asking, I guess more in a niche scenario, but I guess I feel like a lot of our listeners, or at least, you know, students in Waterloo who want to get into PM, sure, they still go down this traditional route of, you know, just applications, cover letters, you know, openings. Is there any like sort of niche piece of advice you'd be able to provide students who, you know, aren't too fond of networking, or obviously, you know, perhaps leveraging social media platforms to reach out to actual connections, but are okay, more just, you know, they want to get noticed through their applications, cover letters, maybe they want to show some design exercises or, you know, projects, related projects, obviously, that could obviously mm-hmm. relate back to the position itself. Is there any piece of advice there?
Yeah, I think, if you're not too keen into networking, I don't know how much you're going to like PM, to be honest, but
that's true.
You're going to have to work with a lot of people. But at the same time, like if you don't want to do it through social media, go to some of these info sessions at Waterloo. I know most people just go for the free food, but you can actually get some good outcomes out of it as well. But
yeah.
On a side note, talking specifically about resumes and cover letters and stuff. I think on your resume, it really depends what type of PM job you're applying to, first of all, because I think one of the most frustrating part, but interesting parts about PM is how diverse it is. Mm-hmm. So for example, at Microsoft, they actually have three different types of PMs. They have business PMs, UX PMs, and technical PMs.
Right.
And if you're applying, like, depending on which PM you're applying for, you're going to have, you can have a completely different resume. If you're applying for UX PM, then of course you're going to probably attach a design portfolio and showcase some of the design aspects of your work in the past. But if you're, you know, if you're working more on the business side, business PM, then of course you're going to show the more business aspects of the work you've done in the past, and TPM more of the technical part. So I think first, if trying to go through the job description, figure out how technical it is, how and where the focus is of the job is one big aspect to start looking at how you want to make your resume.
Mm-hmm.
If it is technical, I think it honestly just comes down to becoming a software engineering resume, but with more focus on the collaborative aspects you did as well. So don't only talk about, you know, how you implementing an algorithm or making an algorithm more efficient. Talk about some of the changes you made to the user experience because of those algorithms, or talk about some of the more collaborative work you've done and some of the ways you've impacted the user experience along with the software engineering skills that you have for technical PM jobs. I think that's probably the way that's the way I go. Not probably, mm-hmm. but it is the way I go for those type of roles. And yeah, I think the biggest thing to look at is look at the roles, look what they're looking for, and emphasize that information because that's what they're looking for.
Right. I definitely agree. And I guess just to add a little bit pointer to that too, is, you know, I kind of used that advice that you mentioned as well when I was looking for my co-op, you know, PM co-ops, or even like even after my first ever PM co-op. What I did was try and make like a WordPress website, you know, just showcase like a sort of mini portfolio there. I try to make my GitHub more clean to show that, you know, I can write code as well, or at least understand it for the technical aspect. I make really terrible looking mockups on Balsamiq and other, you know, like mockup tools. So I don't really like to show, you know, employers that. Yeah. But if need be, I'll link a Dribbble account if I really need to like showcase that. And other stuff too, right? It's just kind of like all in the bill, like all in one package, you know, show them design, a little bit of design, a little bit of, you know, technical skill or experience, and obviously your leadership / collaboration experience, right?
Yeah, I think like you said, a big thing about PM is how many different hats can you wear, because a PM has to be ready, or a very good PM has to be ready to, you know, talk with the engineering team to be able to talk about very technical aspects, but at the same time, work with UX and business teams and work with like, and not have a disconnect with them. The ability to wear many hats is essential for a PM in their day to day. And you have to start making your resume cater towards that. Showcasing the different hats that you've worn in the past and how you've excelled in each facet is a big part of it. But yeah, like I said before, it really depends on the role as well. Like if it's more of a technical role, still show all three different assets. Still show the UX design skills that you have, the business skills that you have, and the technical skills, but put more emphasis on the technical skills because that's what the position entails it for, or is in, you know, entails for. So yeah, I think that's a big aspect of what you want to show on your resume, the way you can, the ability to wear many hats.
Right. Definitely agree. Awesome. I think I just have this one last question for you. It's a little bit similar to what we previously already talked about in terms of, you know, what we hope to gain from PM experience, and particularly obviously your future career goals. But I guess if I were to reiterate this question again, perhaps get a different answer out of you, maybe.
Sure.
Because I can tell, obviously, you know, you're going down this PM career path. You see PM as a very viable career option in your early young. Your young career again. I'm repeating the word career a lot of times, so don't mind that. But yeah, no. Like, are your short term future goals to become a full time PM and learn from that aspect, and perhaps, you know, pursue entrepreneurship / startups, or are you kind of just more open? You know, obviously doing full time PM, but then open to other fields as well. What are just your, you know, like the 5 years down the road? What are your career ambitions?
Yeah, for sure. And I think, going back to why I'm doing PM right now, like I do think my main goal is to do a startup when I graduate. That's just, you know, it's been what I want to do. And I want to at least give it a shot and see what happens. But the way PM fits into that is where you have to think about the different technologies and different aspects of making a product in PM and doing a startup. So for me, PM is a way for me to gain exposure into all those fields so that when I do my startup, I've already had this mentality of how do I take a problem and break it down into a product or a feature. And so when it comes to what I want to do in the future, it really depends. It really depends which field speak out to me and what I've enjoyed doing.
Yeah, I think that's the best way you could definitely word it. And I think obviously on my side too, because I like to, I ask this question because I like to sort of answer it myself during the episode as well. But like, it's very similar to you. You know, I like to have the end of the stick, you know, kind of still open a little bit, you know, open to other fields, perhaps if I really do have a big change of heart. But obviously, you know, continue down that full-time PM path because it really just provides you like the full exposure to everything, right? At least in my experience, product development, all stages of it, as well as, you know, scaling, track to success, everything to it. Yeah. And that's at least this is my reason why I kind of want to pursue this path, because there's so much that you can learn. Different teams, different engineering processes, obviously different industries and use cases and all these, you know, problems that you can explore. But at the end of the day, I personally feel like this is the work style the type of work I want to see myself in the future, at least in the near future, doing, similar to you as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is what feels right now, and we'll see what happens in the future, right?
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. Okay, yeah. So I'd like to conclude this podcast episode. I believe we've hit about over 20 minutes or so, perhaps even almost 30. I'll take a look after that. I might make some edits, but yeah, so thank you guys again for tuning in and listening to our very informative and insightful conversation with Daivik again. And obviously, thank you for joining me. It was a very great pleasure for me to host you. And obviously, I hope to host people more like him as well in the future for the listeners to continue getting more information and insight. But yeah, so tune in again next time. Thank you.